Oh, man, what? What's happening? Thank you so much, man. Thank you for letting me be here. I'm just so blessed. When a pastor gives up their pulpit to a speaker, it's an honor to be here with you this morning. My name is Matt Trammell, Trammell like camel, and so you never forget that. I have brought with me my beautiful wife and best friend. That's Annie on the front row. She loves it when I do that. Hi, Annie. We do have four kids. Abraham, 16. Ella is 13. Mackenzie's 10. Elijah is 8. His nickname is Dennis the Menace, and he's just fantastic. I'm a third-generation preacher. I just talked to my dad before I got on stage, and it's really cool because while I'm preaching, my dad is also preaching in Florida, and my grandpa is also preaching in Cincinnati. So three generations of Trammells that are preaching the word on Sunday morning. So that's pretty cool. We live in Mansfield, Ohio. That's where we were. I was in full-time ministry. I really tried not to be. My dad was a pastor. My grandpa was a pastor. And I said, Lord, you have the wrong one. Leave me alone. And so I was in full-time ministry for a little over a decade. And I've been out of full-time ministry for about 2 years now. And we get the opportunity to use bodybuilding as a ministry, photo and video. We do a lot of that content creation. And we just got back. Now, when I say just got back, we just rolled in from Washington, D.C. We got home about 3 in the morning. I was in bed by about 4 in the morning. We had the opportunity to go out to the CPAC. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's the largest Republican convention in the world. So anybody that was anybody was there. We got to meet Donald Trump. I got to meet Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs. Like, we just got to see. I got to pray with congressmen and senators of our country. We were just kind of the video people, but we had the opportunity to meet some really cool people. So a couple hours of sleep, we're fine. We're going to keep it moving. All right. So anyway, just again, thank you for letting me be here. Today, we are going to be in Joshua. Your pastor said, hey, man, just get in there and fire them up. It's very easy for me to get excited about the Word of God. All right. I know who's on my side. I know who's in my corner. I serve the star breather. Right, the creator of DNA. And so I get excited when I think about what God is doing. So today we're going to be in Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Joshua 1, 9 happens to be probably, it's hard to choose your favorite, but if I had to choose a favorite, it would probably be Joshua 1, 9. So if this is my last and only opportunity to speak to you, I want to get you fired up. I want you to leave today knowing who's on your side, all right? So the book of Joshua, it begins with a transition of leadership. So you had Moses, right, the leader of Israel. He had died, and now Joshua stands in charge. He was given the task by God of leading the Israelites into the promised land. Okay, but I want to pause just very quickly to appreciate the shoes that Joshua was told to fill, okay? There are 494 occurrences of God speaking to humans in the Old Testament. 494. Moses and God held 238 of those conversations. And that's almost half, 48.2% to be exact. And so God's words are directed at a man who had the weight of the world, right? Or at least the weight of a nation on his shoulders. In Joshua 1, 6 through 9, God delivers a direct command to be strong and courageous. But they're more than just motivational words. They're words that are rooted in promises of God, right? Not Matt's promises, not pastor's promises. These are God's promises. And so today what we're going to go over is some key truths about spiritual leadership, faith, and obedience that we can apply to our world around us, right? It's one thing to read the Bible. It's an entirely different thing to apply the Bible. So hopefully I can teach you today how to apply these scriptures to your life. But before we get into that even, I don't want to assume that everyone in this room knows who Joshua is, knows who Moses is. So if this is your first time, let's take a look at how we got here in Joshua. All right, so Joshua had been Moses's assistant, okay, for about 40 years, and he had a front row seat to all the things that God had done in liberating the Israelite people. He saw manna fall from heaven. He followed the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night. And Joshua was one of the 12 spies. Remember the 12 spies that went and they were to scout out the promised land? And Joshua was one of two, all right, of the 12. It was him and Caleb. And they were the only ones of those spies that thought that God could actually deliver them from these people. After Israelites' disobedience, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Joshua is chosen to lead the next generation into Canaan. All right, so they're on the brink of entering the promised land. Joshua's facing the greatest challenge of his life, leading this entire nation against well-trained warriors, right? They lived in walled cities, thick walled cities. And to think back at that time, a walled city for a bow and arrow, right, would have been a problem, okay? If you had a walled city, you were pretty safe. And so God's words to Joshua are not just an encouragement, okay? They're a command and a blueprint for success. See, I'm huge on blueprints. If you follow me on social media, I am huge on blueprints for success. So through training both myself and others, I know how important a blueprint is. If you're going to do this, okay, homie, you tell me you want a six-pack, okay? Well, here's the rules. Here's the blueprint for how we can get you a six-pack. So if you want to do or have this, you have to do this and this, right? So our spiritual life is no different. Our married life is no different. No matter what you're doing, whether you're working out or you're leading a nation into a foreign land, there's a blueprint for it. You follow the blueprint, I promise you there's going to be success. And so here's the blueprint that God gives to Joshua. Three keys to having strength and courage in your Christian life. Number one is this: strength and courage comes from God's promise. Okay, we're going to be in verse 6, and it says this. I'll read it again. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Joshua's strength, it didn't come from his own ability, but from God's unchanging promise. See, the God that I serve is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He is always, listen to me, church, God is always faithful. Not sometimes, not 8 out of 10 times. It might not work out exactly how you want, but I promise you my God is going to be faithful to what he says. See, back in Genesis 12, we rewind back to Genesis. God had already sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that their descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. So Joshua's job was not to question God, but to trust and act upon God's word. Our courage must be rooted in God's promises, not our circumstances. See, I have the opportunity to counsel a lot of people, marriage counseling, post, pre, all the above, rehab and prehab. But my focus is men. I have a heart for men. I know that if we boil all of society's problems all the way down, other than needing Jesus, right, we need strong men. When the men aren't doing what they're supposed to do, society runs amok. And I think that we've seen some of that in our society today. And so I have this opportunity. And what I find a lot of people have an issue with is their self-talk, right? The things that they think about themselves are very negative. And if you're here today, I want to tell you that no one talks to you more than you do, right? You talk to yourself more than anyone else. We were in D.C. and there were most of the people were very nice, but it attracted some of the crazies, all right? There was a guy that came up to my wife and I, and he was talking about the UFOs that were above his house, the drones. There was laser beams involved, right? He had some wild thoughts in his brain. But the Bible gives us an image of taking these wild thoughts and taking them captive, right? When I have a captive, I can do whatever I want with that captive. And so when you have these thoughts, these negative thought patterns pop into your brain, you have to take them captive. And then you have to quickly identify the lie. You identify the lie that's starting to creep in, and then you replace it with something that you know is true. See, in life, I promise you, if you've been a human for more than 3 minutes, you're going to have times of uncertainty. You're going to have hard times. There's going to be storms come into your life. But that's when you remind yourself, what has God promised? What has God promised me in His Word so that I don't have to think that crazy thought that I'm thinking? See, we serve a God that thrives in the impossible. Pharaoh will never let his entire slave force free. That's impossible. Getting an entire civilization across the Red Sea on dry land, that's impossible. Getting an entire civilization, feeding millions of people in the wilderness, that's impossible. Getting water from a rock, that's impossible. Conquering an occupied land full of child sacrificing, Baal worshiping. They were warriors, right? 10 of the 12 spies said, put the brakes, pump the, we can't go in there. They were savages. God is a God of the impossible. See, courage is not the absence of fear. It is the presence of faith in the Word of God. Never forget who's in your corner. When Moses asked God, who will I say sent me? God looks at looked at Moses. He talked to Moses and he said, I am. I am sent you. See, church, God makes promises in His Word. My question to you is this. Are you reading them? Are you reading the promises of God? Are you meditating on those promises? Are you preaching those promises to yourself day in and day out? Because I promise you, we all know, it doesn't take long to get off the reservation, right? We get those thoughts and we get and all of a sudden, how did I even get to where I am? So are you reading them? Are you meditating? See, my strength comes from knowing who God is. That's where my strength comes from. Number two. Strength and courage require obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's word. Verse 7 and 8 says this. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. See, Joshua's success was not based on military strategy, but on obedience to God's instruction. See, you have to think that the Israelites had been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Before that, they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And so in that time, there wasn't much free time to train an army, right? This was a nation of slaves, and then they wandered for a little while, and now they're supposed to go conquer a land full of warriors. Joshua wasn't given a battle plan. He was given God's word. See, true success comes from aligning ourselves with God's will, not your own. One of my life's prayers is open and closed doors. Give me the wisdom to walk through the open ones. Give me the wisdom to stop at the closed ones and not try to line with C4 to blow the hinges off. Because I've tried to do that and it didn't work out very well. So open and closed doors. Not your will, not my will, but your will. The Bible says in Psalms 37, it says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. See, when you follow his blueprint, when you follow the blueprint of Scripture, see, y'all, it's not like hidden. Like, God didn't want you, like, it's a very clear, living, breathing word of God. But you have to do a little work. You have to study. You have to, if you don't understand something, you have to ask someone. You have to do a little work, but it's worth it. See, when you follow the blueprint, when you do what Scripture tells you to do, the battles in your life are already won. Like, that's the thing that I don't think that sometimes we don't fully appreciate as Christians, is that the battle has already been fought and won. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for my sins and he died for your sins. Not only did he die on the cross, that was a really incredible part, right? Roman crucifixion was not a game. It was nothing to play with. But the fact that my Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead. He rose himself. On the third day, he said, now we're done with the death thing. We're going to defeat death. We're going to defeat sin. That's being faithful. I want to be faithful to that. So your job is to be faithful and to do the next right thing. So how do we stay aligned? I want to give you three little sub-points here of how you can stay aligned in obedience to God's word. Number one is this. You need to be studying God's word, all right? Studying God's word. Study the book of instruction continually is what the Bible says. The stat says that 63% of Americans describe themselves as Christians, but only 11% of U.S. adults read their Bible every day. And I'm actually surprised it's even that high. Psalm 119, 11 says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you don't have that word, if you're not studying it, if you're not doing your due diligence and trying to understand what God's trying to say to you, you're missing it. How many in this room eat once a week? Anybody? Anybody on that intermittent fasting once a week diet? That would be horrible. No one eats once a week. But how many Christians do you know that rely on Sunday morning? I checked the box. I went to church. You see me here, Lord. Now rain blessings down upon me and my family. Right? It's not just Sunday mornings. You being in this auditorium, I'm glad that you're here, all right? But you sitting in this auditorium doesn't make you a Christian any more than me swimming in the ocean makes me a dolphin. Right? So it's more than just showing up. It's more than just going through the motions. God bless you, brother, and then see you next week. You need to be studying God's word continually. Men, you need to be reading with your wives. You need to be reading with your family. Do you know how powerful it is if your children saw you and your wife studying the word of God together, Bible open on the kitchen table, on your knees at your bedside, praying for your kids by name, praying for your church, praying for your pastor and his family? There's power in that. And some of us aren't embracing that power. Number two of how do we stay aligned? Number two is this, meditate on it day and night. Some of us think that we can just read the verse of the day that pops up on our Bible app and then go about our business. A lot of times throughout my ministry, people would tell me, Matt, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to... People tell me they don't have time, okay? I don't know if this is an issue for this congregation, but I know the majority of people that I've done ministry with, the people that tell me they don't have time, okay, there's this little thing that I could go on your iPhone and look at your screen time, and I promise you that your screen time would tell me a different story. And that we make time for exactly what we want to make time for, right? So don't tell me that you don't have time to meditate on God's word. When you're reading it, I need you to think deeply on Scripture. Because when you do that, right, I said it's the living, breathing word of God. It will shape your life. It will change you. You can't read the Bible and stay the same. You got to go one of two ways. Now, you can reject it, obviously. But if you're on a pursuit, you're on a journey to find what God has for your life, the blueprint is found in those 66 books of the Bible. Number three, how you can stay aligned is obey it fully. Application part. See, I don't want people to come up and say, hey, great message, Pastor. Oh, great. Hey, you just said. No, I mean, hey, I appreciate that, but I just want you to apply what you learned today, right? Don't just say it was a good message and then forget about it by the time you get to the parking lot. I want you to obey it fully, right? The Bible says, do not deviate left or to the right, right? Then you will be successful. A lot of us try to have our cake and eat it too. We kind of stay on both sides of the fence. I want the blessings of God, but I still kind of want to do my own thing. See, we're called as Christ followers to be holy. Do you know what that word holy means? The Holy Bible. Holy simply means set apart. We're set apart. We're special. See, don't let the distractions of this world throw you off God's path for your life. See, we can't expect God's blessings if we pick and choose which parts of His Word to follow. Growing up in ministry, seeing my grandpa, seeing my dad, I saw a lot of people kind of cherry pick. Well, we'll do this, but this one, we can just kind of leave that one alone. The Bible says to obey it fully. You want to be successful in life? You want to have a good marriage? Do you want to have a good business? All of this happens when you're living in alignment with Scripture. It says it right there, black and white. It's a promise. Then you will be successful. Number three, my last point of today. Strength and courage are possible because of God's presence. It's possible because of God's presence. Verse 9 says this: do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. See, God doesn't just send Joshua into battle. He goes with him. God has not just sent you into this world just here I am to just get beat up. The Bible talks about armoring up, right? We've gone over that in church. Put on the full armor of God. Because as soon as your little eyeballs open in the morning, the battle is on, right? We are under attack. And so knowing who is going with me in battle, that makes a big difference, right? If I had my little 8-year-old with me with that, I have God coming with me. He's charging behind me. I know who has my back. See, fear and discouragement are two of the biggest obstacles we face when stepping into a new challenge or calling. See, we get scared, right? See, God knew that Joshua would face opposition. He knew that he'd be facing strong enemies, right? Unknown territory. There is no GPS for this conquest. Somehow last night, Annie had me going the wrong way on some road, right? Then my GPS, I think is she messed me up. There's a blueprint, right? He tells Joshua where to go and how he's going to do it. He knew what he would face. He knows what you're facing. He's not up there ever just going, man, I didn't see that coming. John, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming for your church. He's on the throne. He's sovereign, and he knows exactly what he's doing. See, God's command is not about strategy or battle plans. It's about mindset. We talked earlier about you talking to yourself and being mean to yourself. Mindset. If you're a person that can control your mind, can control your emotions, your reactions, how life is input, how it rolls around in there, and then how you output it. If you can control that part, then in my opinion, you are the most dangerous human on the planet in the best possible way. In the best possible way. A man that can control his emotions, his lust, his anger, right? That's a powerful dude. He's unbothered by these distractions that we go, you know, so often we get thrown off. Mindset. Your mindset is incredibly important. See, fear paralyzes, right? We could probably raise our hands, and how many people in here have been literally paralyzed by fear? That next move, that next job, that spouse, that next, whatever it might be. It can be paralyzing, and then you don't move. See, it causes hesitation, making us doubt what God has already spoken. There's promises in there, folks, and they're God's promises. So fear paralyzes, discouragement weakens. It weakens you, it drains our faith, making us question if God really has our best interests at heart. As a Christian my whole life, basically born in the baptistry, right? There was times where I had those questions. Does God really have my best interests at heart? Why did that? God, I could have gone the rest of my life without that happening. But he has a plan, right? We can't be discouraged. God is telling Joshua, do not let fear or discouragement dictate your actions. What areas, church, in your life are causing fear or discouragement? When I say that sentence, something pops into your brain. Something, you just got a sticking point. Something that you just can't seem to figure out. Have you allowed these emotions to stop you from stepping into something God has called you to do? You know you're supposed to do it. God's told you you're supposed to do it, but you're paralyzed. You don't know what to do next. God said, do not fear. Are you relying on your own strength, or are you relying on God's power? Bible says, wherever you go. I love it when it uses all-inclusive words like that. Wherever, always, right? Wherever. That's pretty all-inclusive. Wherever means what? Wherever you go. From Amish country to Washington, D.C., he's with you. Wherever you go. It means every battle. It means every hardship. It means every unknown situation. This is the same promise that Jesus echoes in Matthew 28:20, and it goes like this. I am with you always. Another all-inclusive. What, how long is always? Oh, always. Even to the end of the age. Folks, how would your attitude change if you fully trusted in God's constant presence? See, I feel like most Christians would live differently if you applied these verses to your life. To know that wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever battle that I face, the victory is mine. My responsibility is to stay faithful, is to be available, and follow the stinking blueprint. What areas of your life are you not allowing that to happen? See, the same God that led Joshua into victory is the same God that's with you right now. When you leave this building, it's the same. God is going with you. And so why would you live your life this frail, scared, depressed, anxious, angry? That's not what Jesus is. We love God and we love others. And we know that no matter what happens, God has me. All the time. Not 7 out of 10, not 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 times. God has your back. See, the message God gave Joshua is the same message he gives us. Be strong and courageous. Church, be strong and courageous, because when you leave these walls, right, then the world smacks you in the face. There's people in this room that are going through insane situations that I can't even fathom. I need you to know that you need to be strong and courageous. It's not a suggestion. This conversation that God was having with Joshua was like, hey man, like, I'm rooting for you. Like, I hope it works out. Like, good luck. These guys look pretty tough. No. He said, be strong and courageous. Why? Because you're a good warrior, Joshua? No. No, because you've trained this great army, Joshua? Surely not. It's because you follow my plan, you follow my blueprint, you do what I tell you, what I tell you to do. You stay faithful, you're present, you keep showing up for yourself, and good things are going to happen. Be strong and courageous, because God has made promises that we can trust. You can take them to the bank. God's promises. Be strong and courageous by obeying his word and not turning away from it. Young folks in here, I'm telling you, is this a little youth group right here? Is this a youth section? What's up, y'all? There's going to be a lot of people that are going to come through your life that are going to offer you a blueprint. And they're going to say, hey, go this way. Follow this blueprint. Try this blueprint. I need you to know there's one and only blueprint, and it comes from the Word of God. And young people, I encourage you to get with someone that is a little further than you are, right? Get a good mentor. Get someone that knows what they're talking about so that you can have that person to bounce, like when you're studying God's word. Man, instead of Googling it, man, call your pastor. Call your youth pastor. Call an elder in the church. It's really important. It's really important for growth. Obey God's word, not turning away from it, knowing who's in your corner. Be strong and courageous, because God is with us. No matter where we go, no matter what you're doing, no matter what your profession is, it's all a vehicle for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Every weight that I lift, every video that I take, every picture that I take is for God's glory. And I just hope that he continues to use me in these incredible ways. Where in your life is God calling you to step out in strength and courage? Is it volunteering for the nursery? Take some strength and courage sometimes. Right? Amen. Is it volunteering for the parking lot crew? Is it a Sunday school teacher leading a small group? Is it stepping up at your job and being a good influence? Is it reading with your wife and your kids? Where has God called you? What area of weakness? I got to train under a legend of powerlifting. His name was Louis Simmons. If y'all have ever heard of West Side Barbell. Right? And he told me, Matt, train your weaknesses until they're no longer weaknesses. It's always fun to do things that you like to do. But you need to challenge yourself. Knowing, again, who's in your corner. Who's got your back. Be strong and courageous, church. Okay? Be willing to step out. God is faithful all the time. I am so thankful for you allowing me to come here. I'm going to pray, and then my part's done. All right? God, thank you so much for this time that we can be together and opening your word. A word of encouragement to be strong and courageous in the face of tough enemies. The world can be a wild place. But we know that your promises are true. Not sometimes, but all the time. You are the same in the past, present, and future. You love us. Thank you for your sacrifice, allowing us to be able to have a home with you in heaven forever. Allow this church, man, just pour your blessings, your presence all over these people. Be with the pastor, be with his family, be with the staff, and just be with this church. I want to see them be a light to this community. But they need to be strong and courageous, knowing the God that they serve. Thank you again for everything that you do for us. We are so thankful for another day. It means that you're not done with us yet. We love you, Lord. Thank you, everything that you do. Be with the rest of today, Sunday school, fellowship. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate it.